This episode contains some disturbing content. Please be advised.
Today's episode is brought to you by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients with mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. Skip all those trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. You can now enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in 30 minutes or less. With over 25 recipes to choose from each week, there is something for everyone to enjoy. All recipes are designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure both deliciousness and simplicity. Apparently, we've been on a chicken kick, because this week we really liked the Monterey Jack unfried chicken with roasted carrots and sriracha mayo. It's crispy and crunchy and delicious without frying it. You definitely have to try it. Go to the link in our show notes to get $80 off, including free shipping on HelloFresh, the number one meal kit.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. So tell me what we've got today, unless I'm just jumping right over housekeeping.
I know. No, there's not really anything housekeeping except for hope y'all had a great Labor Day weekend. We enjoyed recharging.
Yeah, and I feel like it's that end of summer closure that people look for. And like all the vacationing, the summer vacationing is done. All the breaks and stuff.
Exactly. And if you're Patreon, we are definitely having a discussion this month because Amy's case, which you just listened to, made me bonkers.
It did.
So, all right, we won't get into that rabbit hole now. But today's a case that, I don't know, I have a lot of questions about.
You have a lot of questions about.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to say...
I have it all figured out.
...that it's going to make me have a lot of questions.
Sorry, Mom, I'm not solving this one.
I haven't heard that one in a long time.
All right, so today we're going to talk about Joey Lynn Offit. Now, this story takes place between Virginia and Pennsylvania. And her mom lived in Virginia, and she moved back and forth from Pennsylvania to Virginia. I'll talk about where she was living at the time, but just to give you a frame of reference.
Thank you.
Okay. So Joey was born in October of 1973. She was the youngest of four girls. Her parents got divorced when she was a toddler, but it sounds like Mom had primary custody. And there isn't a whole lot about her childhood except for, like, she had a great relationship with her sisters. She grew up in a pretty, you know, average household, nothing to be noted.
Got it.
She did go to college for 1 year. She struggled with her classes and didn't go back after freshman year. Now, it sounds like it was about this time when Mom realized that maybe there's more going on than she realized initially.
Really?
Yeah. So they saw...
That wouldn't be my first thought, although I'm not living it, so I don't know.
And I think it was more than that, but there's not really... This is one of those cases where there's not a ton out there, right? Like, this is just a period episode, which Mom did, and she was phenomenal, but there's not a whole lot to pull information from.
Right. So there was probably some other indicators that something was going on or something wasn't right. I mean, because my first thought is, you know, college didn't work out. Maybe it just wasn't a good fit because not everyone's meant to go to college, you know?
Right. And I don't know if this is when, but based on what the next thing I'm going to talk about is, my guess is this is when this all sort of happened. They sought professional help, and Joey was diagnosed with by a psychologist as suffering from a developmental disability and delay. And she had a mind of a young teen.
Oh.
So her mom actually, in the disappeared episode, said the psychologist asked her mom, like, what maturity level she thought Joey was operating at. And her mom was like, I don't know, like a 16-year-old. And the psychologist responded with,
that's being generous. I feel like it's more of a 14-year-old.
That's a very interesting concept, I guess, for me, because usually with developmental delays, I hear that they're functioning at an even younger level. I guess I can see why 14 or 16 would take years to diagnose, or a developmental delay, because that's a little bit harder to pinpoint. Does that make sense?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with you. So this actually obviously created some challenges, as she struggled with jobs and long-term relationships, and it made her much more susceptible to manipulation.
Okay.
One of the examples I'm going to give you is she would chat people on the internet, right? And her mom told this story in the Disappeared episode. And a guy apparently in California was like, come out and I want to take pictures of you. Like, you're beautiful. You're a model. And her mom was like, listen, my daughter is beautiful, but she's not like an LA model.
Right. So she's gullible.
Well, the guy ended up wanting to take pornographic photos of her.
I see, but she doesn't seem to have that threshold for danger.
Right.
That an adult would, or should.
Yes. But, however, she did get married at the age of 20 or 21 and had a baby quickly after.
Okay.
It didn't work out, and she ended up back home. But it sounds like, and I'm guessing on the year here, but based on, like, the trajectory, in 2003, 2004, she met Alexis Brolin Jr., and they entered into a relationship, and it was pretty up and down. She had probably a 5-year-old or a 4-year-old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like some of her developmental delays display themselves as being immature.
That's what I would think.
Yes.
And just doesn't have the threshold for danger and maybe a little impulsive.
Right. So they, you know, have this up and down relationship, and they end up getting pregnant. And they have a little girl, and she's healthy, and the ups and downs sort of continue. And mom, no, they do not live together. They have maintained separate households. Her mom is a little bit concerned, and I don't know if she used the court system or if she just did it, but her mom actually took custody of both of her kids.
Oh, so she must have had, like, significant safety concerns and...
Yes. Her mom is actually really emotional in the Disappeared episode when she was talking about it. But the day she took custody of them, Joey found out she was pregnant again.
Oh, my goodness.
So they... Mom was like, well, just focus on your pregnancy. Focus on whatever you need to deal with. I have the kid. Whatever.
Poor Joey. Poor her mom.
Yes.
What a tough place to be in.
Agreed. I mean, it's just up and down, you know, and her relationship is not stable. It's not like it was, and I want to be clear, it wasn't like it was toxic. It was just, she was on a roller coaster with her emotions and her maturity level, and he wanted an adult relationship. So mm-hmm. There was, you know, just some friction. There was no speculation of, like, abuse or anything like that.
Okay.
So in early 2007, her mom actually bought her a house in Pennsylvania. And she had, you know, improved things enough that she took custody of her girls again. And all three of the kids were going to live there.
Wow, that's significant progress on her part.
Yes. So she had, you know, a month-old baby and all of that. She, Alexis, and the three kids traveled to visit her mom in Virginia in June. It sounds like it was in late June 2007, and her mom offered to keep her 9-year-old for a couple weeks because she had a 3-year-old, a baby, and the 9-year-old, and she was like, let me keep her, like, she can hang out with me summer vacation, you can try to get some sleep.
Okay, yeah.
Which I don't find abnormal at all.
No.
Where that works out, and her mom actually tells another anecdote. The interview her mom did was Disappeared, which is why I keep referencing it. That she called when she got back home and was like, I forgot to give you her earplugs for swimming, so I'm going to put them in the mail today.
Okay.
So, like, totally a mom thing. Like, things are looking up. Alexis, the dad, I'm going to refer to him as dad and baby because they're both named Alexis.
I see. Thank you.
You're welcome. The dad, Alexis, says, I'm going to take our daughter to my house and you keep the baby, whatever. Which they still had separate houses. It was fine. July 3rd, 2007. This is where essentially our story really begins. Dad visits Joey and brings the daughter. They go grocery shopping. They do some work around the house. She's giving the baby a bath in the sink. And Dad got mad because she didn't clean the sink out first. And he was like, you're essentially washing our child in dirty water.
Yes.
Well, that didn't sit well with Joey. Basically, she was like, don't question my ability to be a mom. And she kicks him out, right? She's like, go home. Bye. See ya. Yeah. And again, this does not sound like it was abnormal. Because Alexis, he participated in the disappeared episode. And was just like, she told me to leave, so I left.
Okay.
The next day is July 4th. Alexis calls her a few times, no answer, and he's like, come on, like, you're being ridiculous, basically.
Yes, it didn't need to get this out of hand.
Right. The next day, the 5th, Alexis calls, there's no answer, he goes to the house. Her car's there, he knocks, no one comes to the door, and he's like, what the heck, like, this is ridiculous. The next day, the 6th, he calls again, and he's like, this is, like, at some point we have to talk, right? But then he gets a call back, and it's the home health care nurse, who, now, Joey did not work and was a single mom, so she had state aid that came to the house. And the nurse was like, well, she wasn't here for the appointment. And so Alexis drives back over and is like, leaves a note now. And he's like, basically like, hello, this is ridiculous.
Right.
The next 3 days, or 4 days, July 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Oh, no.
More of the same. Calls, visits. Sometimes her car was there. Sometimes it wasn't. No one ever saw anything.
Wait a minute. Now, really?
Wait, hold on. I also want to say a neighbor saw her pushing a stroller on the 5th.
Okay.
Alexis last saw her on the 3rd. That's when anyone actually saw her. But a neighbor saw her walking with a stroller on the 5th. And he remembered it because he waved to her because they're neighbors. And she looked away and kept walking. And he was like, okay.
If you were trying to clear anything up for me, you didn't. You actually made me have more questions. So thanks.
Okay. So July 11th, we are now, what, 8 days in? The home health care nurse comes back for her next appointment. No one's there. So Alexis calls the police. And he's like, something's up. She's never gone this long ignoring me. I thought we were in a fight, but we're not in a fight. Whatever.
Yeah.
So now it gets really weird.
Oh, now.
At 4 a.m. on July 12th, when 911 gets a call that there's an explosion in their neighborhood. They come out, and Joey's house is on fire. There are multiple, like, hot spots in the house. It takes them a while to extinguish the fire, right? But her car's not there. They bring in the arson investigator who says it was arson because there were multiple accelerants used.
That's what that hot spot means?
Yes.
Oh.
Alexis is like, okay, well, so she wasn't there and my son wasn't there, right? And they were like, okay, well, they go back to the house and they find the body of 6-week-old.
That's Alexis. Not what I thought you were going to say. Oh my gosh.
Now they.
Oh my gosh, Melissa.
They did an autopsy and he had been deceased before the fire.
What? That's awful. For crying out loud. My stomach's in my shoes.
I know. So now police are trying to figure out, the last time anyone saw Joey was July 3rd. It was her boyfriend. They got in a fight. A neighbor saw her. This, and they called the neighbor information during this time, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But just, I wanted to give you a frame of reference.
How can we be sure it's the 5th?
I don't know. It sounds like the neighbor is pretty credible based on the information they're able to provide.
Okay.
Now, the neighbor will say, though, he never saw a baby. He saw a stroller, but he can't say he saw a baby.
Oh.
If that throws you for a little more of a loop. So police do what they can do, right? They put out a bolo on her car. They basically start looking for her. On July 15th, okay, they find her car abandoned in State College, Pennsylvania, at the Nittany Garden apartment where she lived years ago. And that's several hours from her home in Sykesville.
Hours.
Hours.
Okay.
Without putting in exact addresses, it's about 70 miles, an hour and a half away. And that's without exact addresses. It sounds like it's probably about closer to 2 hours.
Oh, okay. That's a lot of time in a car. Yep.
Yes. They call her mom, and they tell the mom they found the car. And her mom's like, great. Fantastic. They tell her it's backed into the parking spot, whatever, whatever. And her mom's like, wait a second. She was a terrible driver and could not back into a parking spot if it was for $1 million.
Okay.
And I feel like this is a statement people make about lots of people and they need to get smarter. The seat was pushed all the way back. Joey's 5'2".
Mm-hmm. I'm 5'2", and my seat is almost all the way forward.
Yes. So that is sort of the end of our story. There's no further developments, no sightings, no nothing.
Just a whole lot of confusion?
Just a whole lot of confusion.
So Joey's not the only one missing. Her two other children are as well.
No. Dad had the older one, and Mom had the oldest one.
Right. Okay. Just making sure. And then Joey had the baby at the time.
Yes. Oh, now, boy. I do want to make a couple other points. She hadn't paid her internet bill in over a month, so she had no access to internet. So it's not like she could have met someone online again. So I want to rule that out. I do also want to point out that raw hamburger meat was discovered in the house on the counter, like she was going to cook dinner. And based on lab tests on the bugs and maggots, it likely had been sitting there since between July 3rd and July 5th.
Okay.
Now, I want to say a couple other things. Police have interrogated Alexis left, right, up, down, center.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing in the way that you're speaking that suggests he was involved.
Now, he did, and he participated and disappeared. Now, I do want to say there's rumors, not in media, but in, like, the Reddit, that he refused a polygraph, which I give zero credit to because I would refuse a polygraph. But police have said he's cooperative and that he is whatever. He's never been listed as a person of interest or a suspect. Second of all, police have said that they lean toward foul play only because she doesn't have the mental capacity to up and leave her life.
Okay.
But the reason I pause with that is we have decided, you and I, that people like Bryce LaPisa likely had a mental break and left their life accidentally. So mm-hmm. Do you want theories?
Yeah, I need them.
Okay. So there's... Died by suicide is basically never been addressed. Like, no one thinks she died by suicide.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's not possible, but just based on the conversation. Alexis did it. The boyfriend.
Yes.
She left her life... And this is under two parts. Either she left her life because she just had a mental break and needed to do that, or she accidentally killed the baby and left her life because she ran from that.
Okay.
And that's base. And then there's random foul play.
So how did the baby actually die before the fire?
There's no... autopsy about that. There's an autopsy, but due to the damage in the fire, all they can say is there's no smoke inhalation.
Okay.
And I'll also say, and this is my speculation, but I would think if the baby was, like, stabbed or shot or the trauma, right, they would be able to see that.
Yes. I mean, yes.
So I don't know that for a fact. Like, it's literally just...
For a really violent crime, yes.
Right. So my guess is it's... I don't know, but I would guess also it's not natural cause.
Okay. Oh, this is overwhelming. So why do you think people don't talk about died by suicide?
I think that it's more of a... She didn't have the wherewithal to plan to go hide her body.
There's no chance she was incinerated in this fire.
No, the baby was found.
But things weren't so destroyed that...
No. Nope. I mean, they went into the house when it was still standing. It wasn't like it was rubble.
Okay, okay. It's not like the Sodder family.
I mean, it's destroyed, but it's still standing. Right.
Okay. What do you make of the car being that far away? And why?
The car was at an apartment complex they used to live at.
So, is it... This episode, guys, real sorry. I think we're going to hop back and forth between theories. Because that's where my questions feel like they're going.
That's fine.
Is it possible that she had been talking to someone on the internet or from a place that she used to live? They exchanged numbers and she carried on that relationship over the phone. And then this person somehow gets to her place, gets really upset with her, hurts the baby, takes her back with him to the apartment complex in her car.
Okay, hold on. Let's back up.
Did that go too fast and out of control?
I think it went too far. I think that they somehow went through, like, the phone records. Again, it's not very clear because there's not a lot out there. And they've ruled out that she met someone. Doesn't mean that it's true, but, I mean, that's where law enforcement is. I think it's possible that she met someone. My thing is, what do you make of the car being there and not there? Like, I want to narrow down when the heck we think this happened.
Here's where my head goes to, and I'm really conflicted, because if someone came over the house and stayed there, they could have easily taken the car to go do X, Y, and Z for days and maybe held her hostage in a way. However, I get caught up with the meat on the counter, because if that were true, you're just going to let meat sit on the counter for 6 days while maggots come?
Yeah, I mean, I think that she likely, whatever happened, I don't know, because I want to say, okay, so likely she disappeared on, like, the 5th, right? Because that's when the neighbor saw her and the maggots were dated back to the 3rd to the 5th.
And that's deemed credible, and...
Yeah. But then who blew up her house?
And why?
Like, she didn't come... Did she come back? And, like, the baby being... I'm not sure if I told you, the baby was in the bathtub. Part of me wonders if she went to give the baby a bath and was like, well, it's... He said, I'm using the dirty sink. I'll use the bathtub. And the baby accidentally drowned.
Okay, but then she leaves the baby and goes to her old apartment complex?
And then comes back 12 days later and burns her house down. I don't know, Amy. That doesn't make sense to me either.
Well, what if that did happen and she lost it? And I don't know what would drive her back to somewhere where she used to live. But her mental state could have been really... I mean, she could have been incapacitated pretty much.
Do you think she stayed in the house then till she blew it up? And do you think she blew it up? And if that's the case, do you think she blew it up to cover up the baby's death? And then if we believe those things, she left her life?
Well, then, does she have the capacity to blow up her house like that? Most people, I think, would scour the internet to learn something about how to make that happen. And she didn't have that access. So she just knew how to do this? Or are we underestimating her mental capacity?
I mean, a 16-year-old is capable of those things. But then, like, people on the Reddit made very convincing arguments about the boyfriend.
Tell me about him.
They basically say that, like, she didn't have the executive functions, right, to pull off a disappearance. And her car was found in an apartment complex that her and the boyfriend lived at. So he probably drove it there. And is it possible that she killed the baby by accident in the bathtub? She called him.
They would have record of that.
Or he came over or whatever. They got in a fight. He hurt her and burned the house down. I don't know. There's just so many parts to this that I can't connect them all.
Why are police satisfied with whatever he's offered?
I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I didn't call the police department on this one.
I wonder why anyone, whether it was him or some acquaintance, would put the car there.
So, just so you know, according to the Reddit, it's the general, like, theory in locals is that she accidentally killed the baby. Alexis found out, killed her, and tried to cover it up with a fire.
But why drive the car at all? Confuse people?
Buy yourself time? Maybe? I don't know. Like,
maybe. Well, he would have needed a way to transport, and he wouldn't have wanted any evidence in his car.
But I have to assume that they scoured her car.
True.
And if there was blood or a cadaver dog or whatever, we would know that.
Yes, then I genuinely don't know why move the car at all.
I get so frustrated because I've thought a lot about this, obviously. And okay, let's say the baby passes away on the 5th.
That's what we think is the most likely scenario, it seems.
Right. And that's when she was... Part of me wonders if she put the baby in the bathtub and then went to go take out meat for dinner and came back and he was passed. But that's the 5th.
I find it to be a funny time to think about going to take meat out, but...
That's the 5th. What happened from the 5th to the 12th?
It's a long time to clean up.
And then how did the house blow up or get on fire? Because you can sell me on she accidentally drowned a baby in the bathtub, right? You can sell me on that. It was an accident. I don't think...
But there would be water in the lungs.
I don't know. You're right. I don't know.
I mean, she could have accidentally smothered the baby, like resting right next to the baby, or the baby just wedged itself between pillows, like anything, I guess.
And I'll tell you this. I do not think she murdered the baby.
No,
I'm comfortable making that statement.
I didn't really think that either, unless it was some postpartum episode.
But I can tell you, in my opinion, I don't think it's going to happen. So I could see that she accidentally harmed the baby, right? By accident. Totally. And in her 16-year-old, 14-year-old frame of mind, panicked and was like, I just need to cover it up. I can wrap my head around that.
Okay.
That happens, let's say, the night of the 5th. Neighbor saw her taking a walk with the baby. She comes back. This all happens, unfolds. What I can't get through is the next 7 days.
Right. Because if she had to have been removed from the house. Well, no.
She could have left on her own accord.
I guess I was just thinking, like, the visiting nurse never heard any crying or anything like that, so... Something happened right at the beginning, the 5th, 6th.
Right. Alexis left the evening on the 3rd. Someone saw her walking. Now, she could have been... If something happened to the baby and it caused a trauma response in her, it's possible she was walking an empty stroller or the deceased baby.
Right.
But she was alive on the 5th.
Correct.
And I think that's likely when she took out the meat. But beyond that, I've written this down like 4 times. Like, okay, if on this date she does this.
So she could have just, well, I was going to say she could have spiraled, drove back to a place that she felt comfortable, like her old home, and walked away and passed or met foul play or something at that point. But that doesn't explain the fire. So something was done to her. There's no way.
And I'm just, sorry, I just went and pulled a different Reddit thread, and they have verbatim saying that they are not releasing the baby's cause of death. But it is, the baby was deceased before the fire.
Okay.
So that leads me to believe that...
It could have been drowning then. Well,
whatever they think happened, they think that they want, I don't know. I was going to say, like, if it's foul play, the person that did it knows what happened, but we don't know.
I'm trying really hard not to hone in on Dad.
I mean, I think it's hard not to because he has access the entire time and it wouldn't be abnormal.
And there'd be really good reason to be upset with her.
Right. So what? He comes over on the 5th and says, where's the baby? And she says, or the 6th. And he's passed away. And then the dad escalates.
Yes. Then I can't really figure out what he would have done with her body.
Or her car. Because how did he get home from the apartment complex? That means there's another someone else that can drive.
Oh. I don't have an answer, Melissa.
Amy, neither do I. And this case is making me crazy. The disappeared episode was good, but I was like, I want more.
If they drove together there, like a ploy to get her out of the home,
like meet me at our old apartment.
Oh. Maybe even that.
I mean, he has to have 2 cars, right? Because he's not going to walk home.
I guess I have a hard time wrapping my head around, like, why he would say, but meet me at our... Mm. But if, for some strange reason, that happened, he would have the transportation to go home.
And he would have had to move her car, though, because they say that she never would have parked her car that way.
Right. However, if you've already killed her or disposed of her, and it didn't happen in the house, and you don't have to worry about evidence, then why would you go and set it on fire?
I mean, unless it's to draw more suspicion to what happened because the baby's there. But I don't know why you wouldn't just call the cops and say...
No, because everyone would suspect her.
Right. Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't call the cops and say, hey, my girlfriend's missing. Can you do a welfare check? They would go in and find the baby, and then it'd be, oh, well, she... whatever.
What the heck happened?
You're asking me. I don't know. Like I said, I can make sense if her house caught on fire the evening on the 5th, I would say, oh, she accidentally killed the baby. She set her house on fire and ran. And I don't know what happened after that, but I'd be content with that, right? Like, I would say, and she ran.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm still there. Like, I think something happened to the baby accidentally. I just can't understand what happened between the 5th and the 12th. That's what gets me. If her house caught on fire on the 6th even, I would say, oh, that was totally a reaction to accidentally harming her baby. That's where we're going to end up. I'm comfortable with that.
I do think that that's likely what happened because this girl is not a threat to anybody. You know, there's no reason to be so angry with her that you need to kill her, except if it involved one of the children.
So you're thinking the boyfriend?
It's hard for me to ignore, but I still don't know how he did it and why all of these extra things, like setting the place on fire and putting the car in a really random spot. Well, not random at all spot.
Yeah, I think that if he chose to put the car in an apartment complex they both lived in, that draws suspicion to him.
Right. That's true. Did they have any good friends from the apartment complex?
No. Her mom says no. But her mom sounds like she was pretty well informed because her mom, like I said, found out about that guy that wanted to take pictures of her. Like, her mom was pretty knowledgeable. And her mom makes the point that, like, she talked to her. She was like, I forgot to send her earplugs. She put them in the mail. Her mom got them in the mail the next, like, 2 days later. Like, she was of sound mind going into this mess.
True. I don't think I can come up with anything else that remotely makes sense.
Amy, this has been racking around my brain for days.
We gotta ask people to join in.
Yeah, I agree. And I texted you before. I'm like, this is going to be a short episode because the story isn't very long. But also, I don't know how to theorize this. I think I know what happened in between the 3rd and the 5th. I can't explain the next 7 days.
Neither can I.
All right, y'all. Tell us what you think. Amy is literally baffled.
I'm shaking my head.
It's just bonkers.
I just would think, too, that there'd be more evidence of something in a car, on a phone record. But, yeah, guys, you got to let us know what you think. I'm going to jump right on the comment thread as soon as I see one person post something.
And be like, okay, so what do you think and how did it happen and all that? Yes, me too.
Give a thesis. Thank you very much. The end.
All right, guys. We'll be back next week with a whole new case.
All right. Bye. Bye. For information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
The Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production
by Amy Lamar.